We cease not to pray for you and to beg that you may be filled with the knowledge of the will of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. When it's time to pray, you know we'll say an Our Father and a Hail Mary. And the highest form of prayer after the Mass is to string them together in a rosary. The Pater and the Ave are our Catholic go-to prayers. Say, the plane you're on is going to crash, or you're crushed with some terrible news and in tears. You don't have to make anything up. Some kinds of Protestants always have to do an improvised prayer, and sometimes those prayers come out somewhat cringeworthy, but not for Catholics. You know exactly the perfect prayer for every occasion, the Our Father and the Hail Mary. Father Ryan, in his wonderful poem, The Immaculate Conception, writes, "And all the day long can you blame me? Hail Mary, Our Father, I said, and I think that Christ and his mother were glad of the way that I prayed." So often repeated, though, it is easy to let them slip off our tongue by force of habit, not really meaning anything in particular. It's like coming across somebody and saying, "Well, how are you?" And then the other person says, "Well, I'm fine, thank you." Didn't our Lord warn us against vain repetition at the Sermon on the Mount? Well, indeed he did. And during that same sermon, he taught us the Our Father. Because you see, it's vain repetition we're warned against. The pagans, I mean, who thought that the more words they used, the longer the prayer, the more powerful it would be as they prayed to their devils. What should we think about when we say them, these dear dailies of life? Tertullian, the ancient church apologist, said of the Our Father, "It is as brief in words as it is full of thought." And when you're praying, really, any pious thought will do. The saints often would barely get out Our Father and then they'd be gone into an ecstasy. But for us, we're blessed just to lay a hold of some idea or another, perhaps the first that comes along, or maybe one that appeals to you most and you go back to often. The comforting thought, maybe, that God is my Father, and bask in the warmth of that Son. But perhaps most of all this, you're talking to God, and he's listening. You have his entire attention. They say certain charismatic individuals can make you feel as though you were the only one in the room. Attention is the rarest and the purest form of generosity, somebody said. On the other hand, I remember from years ago my mother remarking about a priest she spoke with at my first Mass in France. His eyes, she said, were 1,000 miles away. I've never forgotten that. But God's eyes are upon you, and his ears are open to hear you. And you are with him. And that is enough. The priest concludes his part of the Pater Noster at Mass by singing or saying aloud a petition which could seem, if you examine it, a bit of an odd prayer: lead us not into temptation. Because St. James says in his epistle that God tempteth no man. Well, as usual, temptation is a Greek word, and it has several meanings. It could also mean not just a suggestion to do evil, but any kind of a trial or persecution or suffering. And think, well, if he didn't allow those things, how could we show him that we are loyal to him as his brave, confirmed soldiers? And if there were no choice, how could we be said to be free? Besides, God would not deprive us of the greatest possible victory in the world, which is meant to be our glory in the next, despite how painful and hard won it turns out to be. So, when we pray, "Lead us not into temptation," we're asking God to remove from us every mortal danger. And you know, in God's providence, he reserves many a petition's answer for our prayers. You pray for it, and then you will receive it. Secondly, it is to give us the means to resist temptation, to overcome it, to triumph over it. Over what? Why, the world and the flesh and the devil. If you want the victory, ask for it. Pray right away. Pray. You know what to say. Without heaven's help, how short the trip between feeling the temptation and consenting to it. Pray. Finally, Almighty God does not tempt us, but we do sometimes tempt God. What does that mean? Well, Ecclesiasticus says in Scripture, "Before prayer, prepare thy soul, be not as a man that tempteth God." In other words, to charge right away into prayer without recollecting yourself, even for an instant, to collect your thoughts in God, could be to tempt God. After all, who are you talking to? Have you forgotten? Now, what's a good way to avoid this sin? Well, see the petition just before this last one in the Our Father. We say, "As we forgive those who trespass against us." You prepare, St. Thomas Aquinas says, you prepare your soul for prayer by pardoning those who trespass against you. Or otherwise, he says, prepare yourself as you can, because you must pray as you can and not as you can't, but prepare yourself to be heard by God. But it's most of all careless or presumptuous prayer that's tempting God. Like someone who says, "If God loves me, he will do this for me," or, "No good God would ever allow this thing to happen." There's a lot of that. It's putting God to the test and then flunking him. Not just the boastful and slightly drunk young atheist who declares, "If there is no God, I'm right. If there is a God, let him strike me dead right now." God is not a dog trained to perform tricks. Herod learned this on Good Friday. And lead us not into temptation, but how often we fall. St. Augustine assures us that the Pater Noster is a most powerful prayer to pardon your venial sins, the sins, say, you commit between the time you leave the confessional or enter the church and go up to the communion rail to receive our Lord. St. Gertrude received an efficacious prayer to say as a follow-up. She says, at Mass, you should say the Our Father with the priest, and then this prayer was revealed to her. It's a prayer for the sins of the whole church. Holy Mother Church is the Immaculate Bride of Christ, remember. She can neither teach error nor lead us into sin. And the whole sede vacante business is about this doctrine of the church, immaculate. The others won't understand it, and that's why they throw mud at this good and gracious mother of ours. But still, the fact remains, maybe this is why they get confused, the church militant is composed of sinful members here upon earth. That would be you and me. And it is well-pleasing to God that we say sometimes a prayer for those, our fellow Catholics, who fall under temptation. This is the prayer. I think I'll put it in the bulletin next week. O most tender Jesus, I offer thee this prayer in union with that most perfect intention with which thou didst sanctify it, this prayer, in thy sacred heart, and teach it to us for our salvation, for the forgiveness of all our sins, to supply for all that we lack, whether it be by weakness or ignorance or our faults committed in opposition to thy irresistible omnipotence, thine unsearchable wisdom, and thy free and ever-flowing goodness. Amen. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.